We have a good number this morning. We're appreciative of the fact that you are here. And we have several, again, who are visiting with us. We're thankful for your presence and for the encouragement that it affords us. We pray that you have been encouraged by our worship together today. And it's my personal prayer that you will be encouraged by a lesson that is designed to encourage in our study this morning. I would like to ask you to turn with me in the Old Testament to Psalm 119. The reading that Josh shared with us, interestingly, he said that the entire chapter, a very long chapter, is basically given for the purpose of encouraging us in the study of God's Word and in God's help and knowing and keeping His statutes and commandments. And that, in fact, is in part what my lesson is about today. Especially the fact that God can revive us and strengthen us through His Word. And we'll talk about that in just a few moments' time. But I didn't want to use this particular passage as the reading as well. So it was very easy for me to just go down and find another section of Scripture that basically taught the exact same thing or very similar points found in verses 25 through 32. We're going to be in verses 153 through 160 in just a few moments' time. I want to begin, however, by making note of the fact that I do have a slight update. In fact, it's from Jen about my Aunt Tommy, just to let you know that the doctor was pleased with her improvement after she was admitted. They were able to get some fluids in her and give her some breathing treatments and things like that, and was doing much better in the evening, and indicated that if she is strong enough to walk and to get a little bit of exercise this afternoon, there's a possibility that she might be released from the hospital. So that's very good news, and we appreciate knowing that. If you will, pray for her strength. She has difficulty walking on the best of days, but she's not been eating and has been in basically not doing anything for about the past week. And so as a result of that, she's very weak. We ask that you pray for her. I do want to, and I know they didn't do it for this purpose, and I've already thanked them personally, but I just want you to know how much Jen and Josh do for the congregation, and especially what Jen does. There are a number of individuals kind of in this area that every once in a while she'll get a call. I just found out this morning that Yvonne had called to talk with her concerning some health problems that she's been having. So let's remember Yvonne, too, not just Cliffy and Tommy, but Yvonne's been having some difficulties as well with her blood pressure. And so Jen is called quite often with regard to her expertise and always willing to help. And she and Josh kind of lost their evening yesterday. My mom doesn't want me to go and to see her while she's sick and while Aunt Tommy's sick. And she really doesn't want Debbie to come either, because then Debbie comes home to me. And with my immune system being suppressed, she's worried about that. But for some reason, she let a nurse come and talk to Aunt Tommy, and we're glad for that. So she's getting taken care of. So we appreciate that very much. But, you know, that idea of the pandemic, when it first came about, and this is, by the way, getting into the lesson. When the pandemic first came about, you remember they said 3 weeks to get ahead of the curve. And then after that, 3 weeks persisted. it was a long time before we thought we saw the light at the end of the tunnel, and then all of a sudden the Delta variant hit, and we, for the first time, had some COVID ravaging our congregation in numbers. We, of course, have lost two of our brethren as a result of the pandemic. And then, of course, as things maybe seem to be getting a little better now, Omicron has come, and all these variations. I listened to a lady doctor on the news the other day saying that she believes that the peak will pass and that, in fact, the pandemic will be over by January 26th. And I thought, boy, that's a pie-in-the-sky view if I've ever heard one. So we've struggled, haven't we, physically with regard to the trials and travails. I actually talked about this in my lesson on Thanksgiving last week. Over the past couple of years, you've seen all the memes on the internet where there's 2020 and people say, well, let's out with the old and in with the new for 2021. Can't get any worse. And then 2021 hits and now we're at the beginning of a new year and we're hopefully going to see something a little bit better. People perhaps will be getting back to normal, but there's a lot of trepidation that still exists. There's hope for the end of the pandemic, a return to normalcy, but we are kind of battered, aren't we? And tired of all of this, and we want it to change. And I feel that way, and I'm sure you do as well. My question is this. The physical unease, the difficulties of life, inflation, just the day-by-day life that we live, and the pandemic and COVID as it continually is in our vision, and all the other things that hit us in life, because in addition to all that, we have, you know, the things that trouble us from time to time in our lives, they haven't gone away, have they? They're still there as well, and it can become somewhat difficult. So have those things affected us spiritually? That's the question I want to ask you. And I can't do that without asking that personally. I think that's where the application needs to be. I'm not asking you to nod or to shake your head, but I want you to ask yourself that question. The difficulties of these last couple of years, the difficulties that are present in your life, irrespective of the pandemic, just living day by day, has life gotten you down a little bit and caused you to perhaps change your spiritual outlook to where it's becoming difficult for you, becoming a little bit hard? You know, I'm so appreciative of the efforts that have been made by the brethren here the past couple of years as we have persisted in meeting together and persisted in worshiping God. I had a discussion, or was a part of a discussion on Facebook among a group of preachers, where the question was basically asked, how has your congregation handled this? How is the congregation doing? And almost every single man who spoke, who wrote in that regard, was talking about how they've lost members, and how they're struggling, and how things are not what they were before. And they talked about members that they think, well, they'll never get back because of the time that was spent not meeting and not assembling. And of course, we strove from the very beginning to meet, and we never really did miss a single Sunday where at least some were not here and meeting together. And we have grown as a congregation, and I think we've grown spiritually as well, and we've grown stronger as a group, and I am very, very thankful for that. But regardless of that, and whether you have personally been impacted, the beginning of the year is present, the time of resolutions, and I think the beginning of the year can be a time of renewed spiritual resolution and promise, and that's the reason for this particular lesson. It's kind of a companion to our lesson on Thanksgiving and how that changes our perception and helps us. I want you to think about the fact that revival is always needful. Every one of us can increase our zeal, and there are ways in which we can become more zealous for the Lord and more alive in our service to Him. And I want to share with you some things that are found in the book of Psalms in these verses 153 through 160. And I would like you to keep that idea of revival in mind. Now, notice what the psalmist said. He asks Jehovah to consider my affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget your law. Plead my cause and redeem me. Revive me according to your word. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they do not seek your statutes. Great are your tender mercies. O Lord, revive me according to your judgments. Many are my persecutors and my enemies, yet I do not turn from your testimonies. I see the treacherous and am disgusted because they do not keep your word. Consider how I love your precepts. Revive me, O Lord, according to your loving kindness. The entirety of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous judgments endure forever. Now, one of the things when we talk about reviving, we think about something that is in need of resuscitation, do we not? You have to revive someone, that means they're dead on the vine, and that's not what seems to be the case with regard to the psalmist. He even states that when he looks at the evil that is around him, it is something that disgusts him. He said, I love your precepts. And in fact, the entirety of the 119th chapter is talking about his desire to be in the Word and to meditate on it both day and night. But he still says, O Lord, revive me. And I want to talk for just a few minutes about what is intended and what is meant by that. So I want to start off by noting what the word revive means. And if you look at the definition of that, Thayer and other lexicons talk about this. It is to flourish anew. It has reference to a renewal or a revitalizing or a reinvigorating or a rescue from trouble. And so all of these kinds of things are tied into the concept. It is actually translated, revive me, in the New King James Version, but other passages of Scripture, or excuse me, other translations in the English, take the passages that we refer to and use different words. For example, in the American Standard Version and the King James Version and Young's Literal Translation, the word is quicken me, revive me or quicken me. The English Standard Version and also in the Revised Standard Version is to give me life. Give me life, quicken me, revitalize, renew, revive me. In the 143rd Psalm, in verse 11, the psalmist says, "Revive me, O Lord, for your name's sake, for your righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble." And so there is an indication of that idea of trouble, of a rescue that's considered here. And I think that that's something that we can certainly take to heart when we talk about the difficulties of our lives. It doesn't matter who we are. There are times in our lives where, in effect, even though we are faithful to God, even though we're striving to serve Him, even though we love the Lord and we love His testimonies, that still we're in trouble and we need rescuing. We need that added help for us to overcome whatever Satan is throwing at us, the tribulations and the difficulties of our lives. When you look in the New Testament especially, the Scriptures are replete with emphasis on the importance of maintaining our zeal, our ardor for the Lord. Let me give you a couple of examples. These are passages that no doubt you are familiar with. Galatians chapter 6 and verses 9 and 10, where the Apostle Paul says, "Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith." Paul told the Thessalonians in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 13, "As for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good." The Hebrew writer in Hebrews chapter 6 said in verse 11, "We desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises." And you may remember the words of the Lord in His letters to the seven churches in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 15, specifically talking about the congregation in Laodicea. He said, "I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot, and I could wish that you were cold or hot. But because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth." So whether stated negatively or stated positively, the expectation is there for us as the disciples of our Lord to maintain our steadfastness and maintain our zeal for the Lord, to boil over in our efforts and our desire to serve Him acceptably. And sometimes we need help. And we want to emphasize in the lesson this morning that help, in fact, does come from God. That spiritual renewal comes from Him, that He is, in fact, the source of spiritual renewal. Again, we're going to spend a great deal of time in the book of Psalms, so you may want to keep your thumb there. This time, the 138th Psalm is under consideration. And what you notice that the psalmist says here, that though I walk in the midst of trouble, he said, "You will revive me." And again, this idea of revival perhaps here has reference to his trouble and the rescue from the trouble. He said, "You'll stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies. Your right hand will save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the works of your hands." And so there is that appeal to God. Appeal to God to rescue us. The appeal to God to help us during the difficulties of our life, to revitalize us, to renew us, to revive us. And I would like you to consider how important that is. And of course, a psalm, as it is stated here, is an appeal to God. Now, they're put to music, which makes them psalms, but this is a prayer that is being offered. Just as an aside, one of the best things that you can do when you are feeling beat down by the world is to take it to the Lord. Take it to the Lord in prayer, with that recognition that as you lay your burdens upon Him, that He cares for you. And that caring and that love indicates a willingness to help. He helps us through His Word. He helps us providentially. But even in that acknowledgement and that recognition that as our Father, He is merciful and tender and loving. His tender mercies, His loving kindness helps us to recognize we're not alone in this. And such a, a conversation with Him. You know, He talks to us through the Word, we talk to Him in prayer, but that conversation we have with the Lord, it brings Him in our minds nearer to us. He's not far from any one of us. In fact, in Acts chapter 17, when Paul told the Athenians about that, we seek for Him in the effort to find Him, though He is not far from each of us. He's there, but we have to be mindful of Him, and we can become closer to Him, more intimate with Him, if indeed we persist in prayer daily. So keep that in mind. There's an example I want to make note of, an object lesson that helps to illustrate this from Ezekiel chapter 37. Most of you are familiar with this. It's one of the favorite of the kids, though, them dry bones, having reference to, in Ezekiel, God reanimating the dry bones in a valley before the prophet Ezekiel to teach a lesson to Israel. The purpose is to teach a lesson to Israel. So He reanimates these dry bones. These bones begin to rattle, and sinew and skin comes upon them. They give strength, but they did not breathe until God breathed life into them, and a great army stood up from these dry bones. And what was the purpose of Jehovah doing this to Ezekiel, or in Ezekiel's presence? I want you to notice in verse 11, He said to me, "Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel." This is an illustration. These bones represent Israel. They indeed say, "Our bones are dry. Our hope is lost. We ourselves are cut off. Therefore, prophesy." This is what the Lord is saying to Ezekiel. You have a message. I want you to give this message to them. "Behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord. When I have opened your graves, O my people, brought you up from your graves, I will put my spirit in you and you shall live. I will place you in your own land and you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord." It is God. He has that power to reanimate us, to revitalize us, to revive us, if we allow it. We sometimes do try, I think, even as Christians, even in that knowledge that God is there for us, we try to go it alone. And it certainly is when it becomes difficult for us that we are of a mind that, you know, I just don't think that I can do it. It's just too difficult right now. People just don't understand how alone I feel. And sometimes we may even feel distance from our physical families. We may feel distanced from our spiritual family, our brothers and sisters in Christ, and that should not be. Brethren, we need to be there for one another. We need to be mindful of one another, but you need to be willing to let your brethren in as well. But recognize this, even if you are all alone on the earth, God is with you. And it is the Spirit of God that reanimates us, that reinvigorates us. "I am the Lord," He said, "and I will put my spirit in you and you shall live." And that relationship that we sustain with God is the same. It is, as stated in Romans chapter 6, and I wanted to make note of this verse when it talks about baptism, that we are buried by baptism with Christ into His death, that as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we should walk in newness of life. And in that idea of renewal is that animation anew, that now our life is different. So whether it has that idea of one becoming a Christian because of God's power, having that relationship change as he responds to the gospel of Christ, to where now he rises to walk in newness of life, or whether it be as a child of God where that newness seems to be becoming a bit stale, or because of the trials and tribulations, we are beaten down, we are perplexed, we are crushed, we are dying in the body daily, that there is God, and God has that ability to revive us and to encourage us. Now, I want you to notice that when we do revive, when we do get better, when our zeal increases, where there is that restoration, that reanimation, that revival that is present within us, that declares the power of God. We give God the glory for those things, and He indeed is powerful. In John chapter 5 and verse 25, beginning verse 25, going through verse 27, Most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming, Jesus said. It now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God. Those who hear will live as the Father has life in himself. Notice the significance of this. The Father, his power, his authority, he has life in himself, and he has granted the Son to have life in himself and has given him, the Son, authority to execute judgment also because he is the Son of Man. Do we want to live? We hear the Son who has life in himself. He is the one who is self-animated and has the ability to animate us. The revival, the restoration, the renewal, the rejuvenation, it comes from the Lord because he is powerful, he is capable, and he is willing to revive us. We can depend upon him. And so as we consider those things, there is a final point that I want to make with regard to the reviving that we receive at the hand of God. We want to talk a little bit about how he revives us, which gets us back to the text of Psalm 119. In 154, you'll notice we are told, plead my course, redeem me, revive me according to your word. And what is intended by that? I think the context of Psalm 119, as Josh indicated, is significant in this regard. There are some translations who actually translate this, revive us, revive me according to your promise. In other words, when we use the word according to the word, according to your word, in other words, you gave your word, you promised that you would revive me, so revive me. Well, that's legitimate in the sense that God has promised us that he will revive us, renew us, perhaps make us new again in the sense of being born again, and certainly that he will strengthen us as we've already talked about. But I think that we're talking here about his word. That one of the ways, the methods that God uses to revive us is through his word, the word of God. The commandments of God, the teachings of God, the precepts, the testimonies, the statutes. Psalm 119 in verse 25 tells us, my soul clings to the dust, revive me according to your word. I've declared my ways, you've answered me, teach me your statutes. So if you're feeling the need to be revived, delve into the word, dig into it, and understand that great encouragement comes from it. If you're feeling down, one of the best places you can go is to the book of Psalms. Oh, there's so much encouragement to be found in that particular book. So many words of encouragement that are present that will help you and strengthen you. Not just that book, but many. But that book especially is one that would be good to read if you're lacking in zeal and needing a pick-me-up, a renewal. In Psalm 119 and verse 149, hear my voice according to your loving kindness, O Lord. Oh, excuse me, I just skipped out to the next point. So let me go back up. Psalm 119, 107. I am afflicted very much. Revive me, O Lord, according to your word. And notice in verse 37 of Psalm 119, there's no ambiguity here. He says, turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things and revive me in your way. Your way. So it's not talking about a promise there. It's talking about the directions, the instructions that God has given. And certainly there is revival. There is renewal to be found in that. The second point to be made, where we'll get into verse 149 in a moment, is that God revives us according to his judgments. Notice verse 156. Great are your tender mercies, O Lord. Revive me according to your judgments. Now, we use the term judgment to refer to God's will as well, but there's a portion of God's will to where the indication of God's judging and the basis of his judging and the nature of his judgments are revealed. And I want to emphasize in that regard, the tender mercies of God is indicated in the text. He is thankful, the psalmist is, of how tender God is in his treatment of him, how willing he is to help him, to strengthen him, that his judgments are something that will revive him. So how is that the case? And when we know the nature of God's judgments, the nature of God's justice, his righteousness in judgment, that is something that is an encouragement to us as well. If I had to stand before any one of you, and I don't want to demean you at all, but if I had to stand before any one of you in that day of judgment, and you would be the one who would take account of the things that I have done in my body, whether good or bad, and you're the one that would make my decision, the decision as to whether I'm going to heaven or hell, I would be concerned. I would. Because when we talk about the tender mercies of God, we talk about the justness of God, none of us can elevate our actions and our character to that level. But boy, when it is God who is the one who judges me, because I know the faithfulness of God, what He has promised me, because I know what His standards are, because I know of His grace and mercy. When we talk about He who judges us, the one who judges us is the one who stands before the Father and petitions, intercedes on our behalf. Isn't that a wonderful thing? And because of that, I can rest in calmness and assurance in the recognitions of His justice. There we get to verse 149 of Psalm 119, where it says, "Hear my voice according to your loving kindness, O Lord, revive me according to your justice." Now, what does that indicate for us? Number one, that if we are living righteously, He's promised us standing with Him, and that is something that is an encouragement to us. But understand this, when we talk about revive us according to your justice, we cannot only depend upon the tender mercies of God, we also have to depend upon His righteousness, and we don't have the right to make that petition unless we are seeking to serve Him. In other words, an individual who is rebellious and in sin and not trying to do what the Lord would have him to do, he's not the one that can stand before God and say, "Revive me according to your justice," because it is a righteous thing to God to visit tribulation and wrath upon those who are disobedient to the gospel of Christ. But He is a just God, and so if we place our trust in Him, He will not let us down. The Hebrew writer in Hebrew chapter 4, he talks about the Word of God, that it's living and powerful in verses 12 and 13 of Hebrews 4. He says it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. There is no creature that is hidden from His sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. You keep that in mind. But understand this, that the promise, because of God's righteousness and justice, the promise and faithfulness of God is that if we serve Him, we will have that place in eternity. Isn't that an encouraging thing? If we trust in His tender mercies because we are seeking to live faithfully, that is something that can truly revive us, renew us, rejuvenate us if we place our emphasis and thoughts in that regard. And then finally, God revives us according to His loving kindness. In Psalm 119, verse 159, "Consider how I love your precepts. Revive me, O Lord, according to your mercy," or your loving kindness. That's what the word loving kindness means. Mercy, kindness, favor, pity. All of those things are in mind there. In Titus chapter 3 and verse 4, we talk about, the Apostle Paul tells Titus about the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, who appeared to man, or appeared toward man, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. And so it is because of God's mercy and His loving kindness toward us that we, first of all, are born again, isn't it? If it wasn't for the extension of His mercy. When we talk about God's grace, we're talking about an unmerited gift. That is, we don't earn it. God gives it. But why does He give it? Because He loves us. Why does He give it? Because He is loving in His kindness toward us. Why does He give it? Because He's merciful. He takes pity on us. That's why. We have Him as our Father. We don't have an austere God who is acerbic, who is unwilling to consider the plight of men, who is maybe even capricious in His treatment of mankind. You know, I don't really like this one, so I'm going to do away with him. Or I don't like this group, so I'm going to do away with them. No, He is loving. He's merciful. He is just. He is good. And as a result of these things, if we know it and we respond in kind, we can truly be encouraged by the reality of these things. As we draw our lesson to a close, there is a final conclusion that I want to share with you. And that is, ask that question, what is it we have to do in order to be revived spiritually? So God is the one who helps us. He's the one that does these things. But again, as we alluded to earlier, you know, it's not possible for us truly to be spiritually renewed if we are not doing what we're supposed to be doing. When I say you need to be renewed now, please understand this. God's ready and He's willing to help you. But you have to make an effort. Say an apathetic individual who says, you know, I just can't do it anymore. So, well, we're here to help you. Have you ever talked with someone like that? Because it happens in our relationships from time to time. There's someone maybe who's down on their luck, and they say, you know, I can't get a job. And so you offer him a job, and he says, no, I don't want that job. Or you offer him some help. You say, I can give you some work, or we can assist you in this, but it's just too much for them. They're not willing to actually go halfway and do anything. That they're basically just content to grouse and complain about their position in life, but they don't do anything to change it. There are a lot of people who are that way, and there are a lot of people who are that way spiritually. So understand this. God is ready to renew you, but there are certain things that He expects of you. What we must do to be revived spiritually, first of all, is humble ourselves. Have a penitent spirit as we approach God. In Isaiah 57 and verse 15, Isaiah 57 and verse 15, "For thus says the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him who has a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." You see what we're saying here? He's high and mighty. The idea that God, who is above, who is separated from us by time, by the limits of our physical existence, by His preeminence and His standing as the creator of all things, of the God of the universe who spoke the worlds and the universe into existence, who has created us so marvelously and specially, that God deigns to come and to involve Himself in our lives if we humble ourselves and if our heart is contrite. The word contrite there indicates a penitent heart, a heart that is truly sorry for the things that are done poorly and desirous to do what is right always. And if we have that in our mind and in our hearts, then God certainly will be with him and revive his spirit. We have to be willing to pursue the righteousness of God. You remember the example of Saul of Tarsus? Acts chapter 9, he was converted. The idea there, as he went into Damascus, and Ananias came to him and preached to him, he was baptized. I want you to remember what is stated in Acts chapter 22 and verse 16. He asked the question, what do I do? The Lord told him, as he appeared to him on the road, he said, go into the city and it will be told what you must do. And he sent Ananias, a preacher of righteousness, to him. When Ananias got there, he said, Saul, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. That's what we have to do. We have to pursue God with a recognition, as Acts 17 says, that He is near to us, that He's not far from any of us. And if we will simply pursue Him, look for Him, do as He would have us to do, as a result of that, we will, as we call on the name of the Lord, be given cause to rejoice, because God is there and God will help. I leave you with the passage that is on the board in Psalm 51, verses 9 through 12. Psalm 51, verses 9 through 12. Hide your face from my sins. Blot out all my iniquities, the man of God says. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. There's the revival. Don't cast me away from your presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit. See, the psalmist understood that. God loved him. God cared for him. And in his trouble, in his difficulties, God was there to cleanse his heart, to renew his spirit, to restore him to the joy of the salvation of the Lord. I want you to think again about Ezekiel in the 37th chapter and recognize that God has given our bodies life. We are fearfully and wonderfully made, just like those dry bones in the valley. God is the one who has fashioned us. We exist and are created by God. But He also longs to give life to the dry bones of our spiritual nature. And if we are suffering in any way and in need of encouragement, God is ready. And if we will have a humble and contrite spirit, He will assist us. He will renew us. He will rejuvenate us. Are you here today and not a child of God? You consider yourself dry bones. You're lost in sin. You are dead in sin. Your bones are dry. But God is willing to put the sinew and the skin back on you, to breathe that life in you. You can be born again to walk in newness of life. And if you will respond to the invitation call this day in faith, repenting of your sin, confessing as Lord, being baptized to have your sins washed away. Romans 6, verse 4, Paul says, you shall rise to walk in newness of life. That's the promise that he grants to us. Once you are in that family of God, God is there. He is your Father. He is the one who expresses His tender mercies and love for you every single day. And whatever it is that you need, you can trust that God will be there to deliver it to you so that you can be strong, you can be renewed, you can rejoice in that newness of life and be assured that in the end you will be found faithful. If the trials and troubles of life have you down, let God help and let your brethren help. We offer the invitation to you at this time. If there is anyone who has the need, we ask that you respond. Would you come now while together we stand and while we sing?